Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. I am delighted to have Suzanne Roberts as my guest today. Suzanne is a travel writer, a memoirist, a poet, a teacher, and many other things, as we'll find out today on Talk of Our Towns. Her books include the 2012 National Outdoor Book Award winning Almost Somewhere, 28 Days on the John Muir Trail, the award-winning memoir and travel essays, Bad Tourist, Misadventures in Love and Travel, published in 2020, and an award-winning collection of lyrical essays, Animal Bodies, on Death, Desire, and Other Difficulties, just published this year. She also has four collections of poetry. She was named the next great travel writer by National Geographic Traveler magazine. She has degrees in biology and English, and we're going to learn a lot more about this fascinating and very busy and extraordinary writer. I've read her two books, Bad Tourist and Animal Bodies. Looking forward to reading Almost Somewhere, and I'm so grateful to have you on the show today, Suzanne.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, before we talk about your works and all of this, let's learn a little bit about you and how you came to the writing life.
Well, I was born in New York to a British mother who was quite a storyteller and a Jewish father who worked as a writer. And I grew up in Los Angeles, and my father was an active writer. He was the head writer of As the World Turns. So he wrote for soap operas. He was also a playwright and director and producer on Broadway when we were in New York. And so I grew up in a house that really enjoyed and appreciated stories. Our bookshelves were full of books. I was a voracious reader as a child. And I always wrote from the time I was really little. But of course, I became a teenager, and teenagers become very rebellious. And so my way of rebelling was to decide I wanted to be a scientist. And so I actually studied biology in college as an act of rebellion against my parents, and thought that I would become a doctor or work in the outdoors. But of course, we always come back to who we were really meant to be. And so ended up going to graduate school in English and literature and writing. And now I make my life as a writer.
And you teach, you live in Lake Tahoe, and also in a down by the river van named Shrek.
Yes, yes.
And you're on your website, which is, let people know your website.
Oh, it's SuzanneRoberts.net.
Mm-hmm. And you offer coaching, manuscript editing. You have a great piece about writer's block. So there's a virtual classroom, plus you have students because you're teaching too.
Yes. Yes. So I currently live in South Lake Tahoe, but as you said, my husband and I quit our full-time jobs. I was a tenured professor and he was a college president, and we got sort of to the middle of our lives, and rather than having a midlife crisis, we sort of decided on a midlife escape. And so we travel in our van, we travel internationally. And to do that, we rent our house out. We, you know, live as cheaply as we can. And so I travel and write about my travels, but I also teach at a low-res MFA at UNR and take individual coaching clients and teach workshops both virtually and in person. And those can be found on my website. Yeah.
And you're getting ready to go on a trip. Now, your first book was Almost Somewhere, 28 Days on the John Muir Trail. And that was published in 2012. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so right out of college, it was during the recession, 1992, and everybody was having trouble getting jobs. I had a degree in something that I wasn't really planning on using because I did finish that biology degree. And, you know, I dreaded that question, oh, what are you going to do after college? And so my answer was to take a really long hike. And so two girlfriends and I hiked California's John Muir Trail, which runs 211 miles along the spine of the Sierra from Yosemite to Mount Whitney. And, I didn't have much experience backpacking. One of my friends had never been backpacking, but I had invited her because she had an eating disorder, and I naively believed that hiking for a month would cure her. So you can imagine how the trip went. It was full of misadventures. And I wrote the memoir Almost Somewhere about that experience. And it took me a long time to write the book. I'm a really slow writer. And books take a long time to write. And I think often people think, oh, how come I'm not finished? It's been a year, it's been 2 years. Well, Almost Somewhere took me 15 years to write. And so it wasn't published until 2012. And it was my first published memoir. I had 4 books of poems previously published before that. And now, 10 years after the publication, my husband and I tomorrow are going to leave and retrace my steps on the John Muir Trail.
You will revisit things in a very changed world.
Exactly. You know, not only have I changed and I needed 4 injections in my knee in order to do this hike, right? But the world has changed so much and the trails have changed. It's going to be much more crowded than it was when I did it in 1992. You know, and some for the good. There'll be lots more women out there, lots more women who are solo hiking. But it will be crowded. And also so many of our forests have now burned. My biggest concern about the trip is fire and smoke now. And that wasn't something that we thought about, 30 years ago.
And then you will write about it and share that with us, correct?
That's the plan. Yeah. I'm not the kind of writer who will say, I'm going to write this specific thing and then write it. I'm the kind of writer who thinks, well, maybe I'll write about it. And sometimes there are experiences I have that I don't think I'll write about or that I don't want to write about, and I end up writing about them.
It's a mystery, isn't it? And so you're going to have a new adventure in a place that you have a lot of memories about. So that'll be exciting. And then after that book, you wrote Bad Tourist, Misadventures in Love and Travel.
I did. After my 20s, I kind of blew up my life. I got married. I bought a small cabin in Lake Tahoe. I got a 10-year job. I thought that I finally was living the life I had always imagined. But I still felt like it wasn't what I really truly wanted. And I realized I had married the wrong person because I was 29 and all my friends were getting married. And so I thought, oh, well, I'm dating this person and this must be the right thing for me. And so I sort of fell into the shoulds of life rather than the desire or, what I really needed and wanted. And so I wasn't married for very long, but I blew up that marriage with an infidelity and subsequently traveled the world. And so I wrote about 20 different countries in Bad Tourist. And the title Bad Tourist refers to me being a bad tourist and always trying to be a better tourist, but because of cultural blind spots and other things, I often failed. And so the book is full of misadventures. It's funny, and it sort of charts sort of my becoming from my broken marriage to meeting my current husband to now, being in a new marriage. And the book is not in chronological order, which has angered some readers, frankly. It's in the order of a guidebook, like A Lonely Planet. And it's not just in the order of a guidebook, though, but it's also in order of sort of an emotional arc or growth. And I think that's much more interesting than chronological order, because I don't think we learn things in chronological order. I think we go backwards and forwards and all of this. And so it was very intentional how I ordered the book. And some readers find it intriguing and interesting, and some readers find it frustrating.
No, I loved it. And I mean, because one, I would sit down to read and I'm at Burning Man. And then the next time I sit down to read, I'm in Scotland, and then I sit down to read and I'm in Peru. And I loved it. I thought it was an excellent book because it's, and what I like about your writing is it's poignant, it's deep, it deals with topics such as grief and love and loss, and it's hilarious, and yet, and it's personal, but there's a universal message there. So, you know, I didn't want to finish Bad Tourist. And then, fortunately, though, I had Animal Bodies on Death, Desire, and Other Difficulties, which you just published this year. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so this is another book of essays. I never intended to write two books of essays, much less one. Bad Tourist started out as a memoir, and as I was writing it, I started pulling things out that didn't feel like they fit so much. And in the meantime, I was also writing some other essays about things that felt unrelated, essays about desire, about grief, essays about some of the most difficult aspects of our lives, essays about gun violence in America and environmental devastation and a woman's right to choose and sexual assault. And all of these really difficult things that I didn't know what I was planning to do with these essays. I just knew I had to write them. And so then I realized that most of the essays had to do with some kind of loss. And so I originally put the book together and it was called The Grief Scale. And I had this idea, okay, I'm going to arrange it, you know, by that Kubler-Ross, you know, Five Stages of Grief in an ironic way. Again, you know, like Bad Tourist is an ironic title. Grief Scale was going to be an ironic title. Like, we don't do grief this way. We don't go from denial to acceptance in a tidy line. It just doesn't work that way. But then I realized as I did more reading that I found another memoir by Claire Bidwell Smith that was organized by the Five Stages of Grief. And I thought, okay, well, that's been done. So I can't do that. Which is why I always tell students, read widely, read deeply, because what you're about to do may have been done by someone else and maybe they did it better than you. So I tore the book apart and I just thought, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know what to do with this. And I'm on a daily text stream with two other writers. And we text almost every day about our writing life, and it's been immensely grateful. And actually two of the writers are two of the people I dedicated the book to. And I said to them, what do I call this thing? I have this book now, and I'm not quite sure what it's about. And they said, well, what is it about? And I said, well, it's about the way that we deny our animal natures, our desires, our grief, the way that we really deny our animal bodies. And they said, there's your title, Animal Bodies. And I realized that, yeah, every single essay also talks about the ways in which we don't want to talk about the things our bodies naturally do. We don't want to talk about our desires. We don't want to talk about the messy things. We don't want to talk about death and grief. And I realized it's about death and it's about desire. And then it's about other problems. So I called the other section Other Difficulties. And some of the other difficulties are things like breaking up with a longtime friend over political differences, are things like infertility and deciding whether or not we really want children, the death of a beloved dog, and jealousy, and the last essay in the book was written when I was evacuated from a wildfire. So thinking a lot about climate and the environment and where we're headed.
Well, I loved Animal Bodies and I couldn't wait to read it. Could hardly put it down. Because again, not only is it poignant and thoughtful and philosophical with universal themes, but there's also this eye that you have, this perspective, this humor that you bring into all the situations, which are so difficult. And when we were talked earlier, you said desire is when you want something you haven't had. Grief is when you want something back. And I think we're all dancing, you know, in awe in those worlds, you know, between desire and grief. And how do we reckon with our losses? You know, that's you deal a lot with that, I think. And I think you've been called a nature writer, a political writer. You've obviously been given awards and a lot of praise. People have written about you, and it's very exciting to see what you're going to be doing now, especially after this trip. And I should say that if people have just tuned in, you are listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And so today we are very fortunate. We have Suzanne Roberts on the line. She is a travel writer, a memoirist, a poet. Her books include the 2012 National Outdoor Book Award winning Almost Somewhere, 28 Days on the John Muir Trail. She wrote that 30 years ago, and she's just getting ready to go off on that trail again with her husband now, revisit that. She also wrote the award-winning memoir and travel essays, Bad Tourist, Misadventures in Love and Travel, published in 2020, and her latest book, an award-winning collection of lyrical essays, Animal Bodies, on Death, Desire, and Other Difficulties. Suzanne, would you maybe want to read a little something from Animal Bodies for us?
Oh, sure. You know, I was planning to read something.
Or Bad Tourist, either one, yeah. Either one.
Yeah. But I'm happy to do either, frankly. It's interesting. And, you know, I wanted to address something that you had just said about being a nature writer and a political writer, because I think it's interesting to me, because I never felt like a political writer. I always felt like I was just writing about my surroundings and my own body. And those things recently have become very politicized. And so when I wrote Almost Somewhere, it was about what does it mean to be a woman in the wilderness? What does it mean to have a distinctly feminine gaze in the wilderness and perception of the wilderness? And that's a really political idea, even though 10 years ago it wasn't called that. And I think too, you know, the ways in which we deal with death is also politicized, right? Like whether or not we allow assisted suicide, you know, and so I think that our bodies and our environments, because we're living in such a divided place and country right now, that everything is political. And so I just wanted to, you know, I wanted to mention that while I was thinking about it. But yes, I would love to read something from Bad Tourist, and I'm choosing this paragraph because it's from an essay called 3 Hours to Burn a Body. And one of my major themes is death and grief and the way that we handle those things. And I think that sometimes, you know, we can look to other cultures who handle them in a much more humane and beautiful way. And this essay takes place in Varanasi, which is a very spiritual city, one of the most spiritual places in India, because it's a place where people bring their loved ones to the Ganges River when they cremate them and they put them in the Ganges River so that they can achieve afterlife. And so when you go to India, you can go to the Ghats and actually watch these cremations. And so it's also a struggle because it's like, you know, I am coming to one of the most profound and meaningful and important moments of a stranger's life, and here I am as a tourist. And so that there's a struggle in that in this essay. But at the end of the essay, I see this really, really beautiful thing that juxtaposes life and death. And so I want to read that very short section. Okay?
Thank you.
Nothing will force you to face the reality of your life and what to do with your aliveness like the fact of a burning body. My eyes burned and I felt a thickening in my throat, a breathlessness, and a more complicated mix of emotions than I knew was possible, including all the hard things I saw traveling through India, witnessing the world as it was, as well as my recognition of my privileged place in it, and all the difficult feelings that go along with this, guilt, relief, and a heavy sense of responsibility. We left for the shore where the boatman waited. The azan rang in a chorus from nearby mosques, the call to prayer. The sun was a pink orb in the smoky sky. As we floated down the Ganges, I looked back toward the burning bodies, the black splotches on sand. We drifted through the smells of water and smoke, the living and the dying and the dead. Children ran along the rooftop of the concrete building where an old woman waited to die. The fires below created hot wind that lifted their colorful kites and their laughter into flight.
You are a poet. Your prose reflects that when you write. There's a great beauty in that.
Thank
travel,
you.
Travel has changed today, hasn't it?
It has. It has. And, you know, and I think that in some ways, right, we're becoming more aware of our ethical obligations in travel. In some ways, COVID taught us that, you know, trying not to, you know, spread a pandemic, trying to be respectful of other people in small spaces by wearing masks. Some of us have embraced that. Some of us haven't. But, you know, so much. There's so many more humans on the planet, and it's a lot easier now to get places. It's a lot easier to find out about places. And, you know, I have a number of friends who are travel agents, and, you know, their job has shifted a little bit. And I think, though, that when, you know, when we used to sort of go with the travel agent and book, they would educate us, maybe they would look into places that we could stay that would be, you know, ecologically sound, and that would be, you know, a place that contributed to local economy. And now we look at Expedia and we're like, oh, that one's inexpensive, we're gonna book that. And that can cause a lot of problems once we get to where we're going. You know, and I wrote about that in Animal Bodies about my honeymoon. We went to a eco lodge that was anything but eco. And it was because it was inexpensive. We were traveling on a budget and I didn't do my research. And so I write about, you know, talk about being a bad tourist. I mean, I had people thrusting baby sloths and baby jaguars onto my lap that were stolen from their mothers. It was horrible. And so I felt so complicit in, you know, in the environmental devastation that was happening. But you can't blame the people who live there. It's a poverty issue, right? And if we're going to continue to overconsume and live the lives we live, which are quite opulent compared to the rest of the world, then there's going to be people who are doing what they can to survive. And so I grapple with that in Animal Bodies as well as in Bad Tourist. Yeah.
You have certain themes that you work with. You have workshops on an ongoing basis on your website. Can you talk a little bit about the themes that of your workshops?
Yeah, you know, I always talk to writers about what their obsessions are. You know, and it sounds like such an interesting question. Like, what's your obsession? Because it sounds almost like pathological or something. But that's not how I mean it. I mean, what are the things you keep coming back to? What are the stories that you keep telling, right? And for me, the stories that I keep telling are, how do we travel through the world in a respectful way where we learn about ourselves, we learn about the world, and we don't do harm? How do I move through the world in a female body with all the complications of that? How do I survive the hardest things there are to survive? How do I survive the things I didn't think I could survive, right? And so those are the themes of the workshops that I'm drawn to. So I teach workshops on travel writing. I teach workshops on writing the most difficult things, taboo subjects, and shame. And because I also believe that the stories of death and desire and grief and the most difficult things in our lives would be too much if we didn't handle them with humor. So I also teach workshops on humor writing and how to tell the stories with a little bit of levity, because that's how we survive, is through humor.
Absolutely. And we just have a few minutes left. I do want to ask you one last question, and then I want you to just please tell the listening audience anything you that we haven't had a chance to talk about, and that is, what do you tell your students about writing? Because a lot of people say, oh, I'm not a writer and all of that. And we know, of course, that everyone can write. It doesn't matter whether it's how well we write, but it's a healing process. So what do you tell your students today about writing?
Well, I love this question because I love to give advice. And the advice I give to students is to read, because that's how you become a writer. And both, I think both writing and reading are acts of resilience. And so that's the first thing I say is to read. But what I also say is that everybody has a story and every story is worth telling. And there may be people in your lives who don't want you to tell the story, but that's a form of oppression. And the people who love you unconditionally will accept that it's your story to tell. And so if anybody would like listening out there to get started or get a little bit of inspiration or motivation, I have a free Substack newsletter that I send out every Friday. And it's called 52 Prompts, and it's 52 writing prompts. Every Friday, it's a different theme. This last past month's theme was writing the wider world, so more political writing, writing witness, and this next month is going to be writing the greater world, the nature writing, and you can get a free newsletter every single Friday. You can go to my website to sign up, or just Google my name, Suzanne Roberts, 52 writing prompts, and it's completely free to sign up. And I don't spam your email. I just send out a writing prompt every Friday.
Well, that's a gift. Thank you. I think all of us can use that. And I personally want to always have your books in my library so that I can revisit them. And I hope people will go to their independent booksellers or wherever they, if they have to, go wherever they have to go to get Bad Tourists and Animal Bodies. And I would love to talk with you after your trip, after you've had a chance to, revisit again the John Muir Trail from 30 years ago to today. And I wish we could talk more about how travel has changed because of the internet and all of that, but we'll do that at another time. And so I just want to say thank you so much. When here you are leaving tomorrow on a 30-day trip, for making time to talk to us today on KMUN in Astoria, Oregon, and worldwide on the web. Any last thing you'd like the listening audience to know?
I think just that that through reading and writing is where we make human connection. And now more than ever, we need to connect with each other.
Thank you so much, Suzanne. Well said. I hope you and your husband, Tom, have a marvelous experience on the trail. It will certainly be interesting, and we will love to read what you write about it when it all settles.
Thank you,
Suzanne. Thank you.
Thank you.
My appreciation to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program, and also thank you, Nevada, for making this Zoom possible. Until next week. It's actually until next month because the show is monthly now. Let's all take a moment to take a very deep breath. It's such a healing thing to do. And now with gratitude, focus on the things that are going well in your life. There will always be things that aren't going well. Focus on those things that are with gratitude, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you. For doing the best you can, because everyone is until they know better. And for being here now in this moment, the only moment that exists, the now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.